Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage you to go to the Devil Radio website. Many of you have asked how you can support Devil Radio. We have a link up in the menu bar. Click on it and see the many, many ways you can support Devil Radio on your favorite show. And also, while you're at it, download the Devil Radio app or go to the Apple and Google store and you'll have it with you 24/7. Listen to your favorite show whenever you want. Another development, this may be a favorable one. I don't know. We're going to monitor it. But there was an initial impasse over the weekend. 9 moderate House Democrats from states all over the country, from New Jersey to New Mexico, California, announced to Nancy Pelosi, these are members of the House, they're members of Congress in the House, they're from New Jersey, Georgia, Texas, Maine, Hawaii, California, Oregon, and they have said they are not going to vote for the $3.5 trillion budget resolution that the Senate has passed and that would pass without Republican votes, without a filibuster. Why? Because it's a budget resolution, budget reconciliation. Through a quirk in the rules, it doesn't require 60 votes. It only requires 50 votes. Presumably we had them. Well, we did in the Senate. And then Kamala Harris can break the tie. There's also the $1.2 roughly trillion bipartisan hard infrastructure bill for roads, bridges, airports, water systems, broadband. That passed the Senate. That's a no-brainer. That has widespread support in the Congress. But we expect that no Republican will vote for the $3.5 trillion bill in either chamber. And the so-called Progressive Caucus said they won't vote for the $1.2 trillion hard infrastructure bill unless the other one passes, the 3.5. Well, the moderates announced over the weekend they're not going to vote for the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill unless the $1.2 trillion bill passes. So it's an impasse. Nancy Pelosi originally sided with the progressives, said that she's not even going to bring up the hard infrastructure bill, the $1.2 trillion, till the other one passes. There's an impasse. And our margin in the House of Representatives is so tight, so narrow, we could only lose 3 Democrats because no Republicans will vote for us. 3 Democrats. So if 4 Democrats vote against it, it dies. Nancy Pelosi, as the speaker, has to come up with a solution. So here's what she came up with just now. She's offered to advance the budget resolution, which is the $3.5 trillion, and the bipartisan infrastructure package, hard infrastructure, which is the $1.2 trillion, together. Do them together. And that by advance, by the way, that doesn't mean, oh, okay, well, we'll put it on this week and it'll get passed and blah, 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 and that'll be great. And that's not what it means. What it means is that in the arcane rules of the House, she will permit it to come to a vote, give people plenty of time to debate amendments, that kind of thing. So it would advance to a vote sometime this fall, September at the earliest. Remember, we're in the middle of August right now. September at the earliest, maybe October. Throughout all of this, remember, we're depending on 50 Democratic votes in the Senate. Bernie Sanders is quite advanced in age and had a heart attack. Remember that in Nevada during the election primary? He's from Vermont. Vermont has a Republican governor. If God forbid something happens to Bernie, that governor will appoint a Republican, and then they have the majority, and Moscow Mitch will be the majority leader, and we lose everything. If Gavin Newsom gets recalled on September 14, and a Republican gets elected governor, and somehow Senator Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein, is incapacitated or something happens, God forbid, there'd be a Republican senator appointed in California, and the same thing would happen. This is very precarious. We got to get on with these votes. And my strong feeling is we have one that's already passed the Senate with 19 Republican votes. That's the hard infrastructure. 69 to 30 it passed. It will rebuild the bridges, airports, roads, water systems, and extend broadband in this country. What are we waiting for? Nancy, bring it to the floor. Progressives, back off, vote for it, act like Democrats. And let's get that to Joe Biden to sign and get that into law where Moscow Mitch can't reverse it. He'll reverse it in a heartbeat if he thought he could. Then immediately go forward. I agree with the budget resolution of $3.5 trillion. Put that through the House. The moderates, once the other one passes, will absolutely vote for it. We'll have unanimous Democratic vote in the House. And then it has already passed the Senate. They'll get together. Manchin, causing trouble as usual, said, well, I voted for it as a resolution. When it comes time to do it as a bill, I have some concerns. And he's going to nickel and dime and play poker. He's going to say, I don't want this, I want that, blah, 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 blah. So it won't be 3.5 trillion, it'll be 3.1 or 2.9 or something. But what it will be is a multi-generational advance in medical care, tuition for community colleges, child care, elder care, addressing climate change. It's an historic bill. That's the way to do it. But what we have here is a handful of progressives saying we won't do it unless ours goes first, and a handful of moderates saying we won't do it unless ours goes first. Well, Nancy's genius is to be, I think, a fairly good speaker standing up to the Republicans, and she has simply got to bring in the squad and got to bring in these nine moderates. And by the way, there aren't just nine of them. Those are the ones that lent their name. There are a lot more of them. There are a lot more of them. And say, look, guys, I, Nancy, am down with both of these things. I'm going to advance them both at the same time. I'll flip a coin. One will vote in the morning, one will vote in the afternoon, and I'll advance it so there's plenty of time to do the amendments and shoot them down or whatever. And then you will all pledge to vote for it. And if they pledge to vote for it, that's pretty solid. You can take that to the bank. They're not going to lie to the speaker's face. That is what has got to happen. It is absolutely what has got to happen. Because if it doesn't happen, and this degenerates into September and October, and then God forbid something happens to a senator with a Republican governor, we will have blown an historic opportunity. So stand by. Very, very important. After Afghanistan, the most important thing facing the country right now. And by the way, she's also going to advance the voting rights bill. That one, of course, they already voted for in the House. She'll work with Schumer. Schumer's going to put it on the docket in the Senate. Remember, we have Manchin and Sinema who are refusing to suspend the filibuster for the one bill. Guess what? Moscow Mitch suspended the filibuster all over the place for Supreme Court appointments, cabinet appointments. And our guys go, oh, no, we need bipartisanship. What, with Moscow Mitch? If we were bipartisan, why did Moscow Mitch suspend the filibuster to squeeze in Supreme Court appointments and cabinet appointments? If we're bipartisan, why are about nine states and two others with modified versions of this passing voter suppression laws that will almost ensure the election of Republican electors in the next presidential election in their state, and also putting into effect an override so that the votes are counted and decided by partisan Republican vote counters? Not the Secretary of State, not Election Board Commissioners. Nine states are doing this. And so what you'll have is people like Voss and Gableman here and Spindell and this Branchin of Menominee Falls And we're not one of the states that passed this because Evers vetoed it. Otherwise, they would have passed it. Walker had been in there, they would have passed it. And they'll look at it and say, well, okay, Biden won by 20,000, but that's implausible. I have a lot of relatives in Ladysmith, and they don't know anybody who voted for Biden. So therefore, he gets the electors. And it'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And you know something? You'd think, oh, well, that's fraudulent. There is a provision in the U.S. Constitution that says that the states decide who the electors are. Because in those days, they didn't have presidential elections. They thought, who is the big kahuna? George Washington was the first big kahuna, and deservedly so. They decide their electors will go for him. And then Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and so on. William Rehnquist, the Supreme Court Justice, who's passed away, in a footnote in Gore v. Bush in 2000, recited that and said it's up to the states. Kavanaugh, one of the present justices, picked up on that footnote, said the same thing. It is possible that the Supreme Court would say there are no presidential elections anymore. The gerrymandered Republican legislatures will pick the electors, i.e. the Republicans. They will have circumvented the will of the people. And if you think that is far-fetched, you're badly mistaken. And just as a cherry on the sundae, what they're already also putting in is a constitutional convention under Article 5 in the Constitution. And if we get three more states, and Walker made us one of them, there'll be a new convention. Everything that Hamilton and Jefferson and Madison did gets thrown out. And you have Republican lobbyists and people like Voss and Trump writing a new constitution. And you think that is far-fetched? You're mistaken. So don't be lazy anymore. Get off the couch, vote, and vote as if the Constitution depends on it. And I'll tell you what, it's because the Constitution depends on it. Okay, we're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.